If you would reach for your bulletin and follow along with me, we're going to read God's word as it comes to us from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase from The Message. Listen to the word of God. Then Jesus said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between the two sons. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. After he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. That brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him and kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his fingers and sandals on his feet. Then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We are going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you go ahead and pray with me? Let's pray together. Lord our God, take this parable from our Lord Jesus, a parable that is familiar to many and perhaps unknown to some, and speak the timeless truths to us, loving, gracious God, of who you are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To be welcomed home, to be welcomed home is a great gift. The memory of my mother standing on the front porch of our family's home, looking beautiful to me in a yellow summer dress, is my earliest memory of being welcomed home after my first time away at a Presbyterian church camp. I'd been gone for 2 weeks. The car pulled up and I saw her standing on the front porch. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes and ask God to bring to mind an image for you of being welcomed home. Today's scripture, the parable that we usually call the prodigal son, could really be called the parable of the loving father, because the story is ultimately about the father's love. This parable, you might know, is unique to Luke's gospel. We can't find it in Matthew or Mark or John. And it follows in the 15th chapter on the heels of two other parables about being lost and then being found. Each of these three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, each of them ends with great rejoicing. Henry Nouwen writes this, God rejoices not because the problems of the world have been solved, not because all human pain and suffering have come to an end. God rejoices because one of his children who has been lost has been found. Every single one of us is irreplaceably priceless to our Father God. Most of us do know this third parable well. The son, in a profound cultural religious insult to his father, asked for, really demanded, his inheritance and received it. He was essentially wishing that his father would die in making this request. He traveled to a distant country, and there he ran through all the money that he had demanded. Hungry and alone, he wound up doing what no Torah-believing Jewish boy would ever do. He fed pigs. His desperation and his hunger brought him, the scripture says, to his senses. He realized that he could fill his belly by working as a hired hand for his father. To be a dispensable farmhand was all that this younger son believed was possible for him. But the father never stopped believing that his beloved son would come home. We must finish the story in Jesus' own words. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. May I ask you just once again to close your eyes and try to imagine this scene with your eyes closed. See this wealthy Mideastern father throwing dignity and pride to the wind, girding up his robe so that he could run with abandon towards his son. And with your eyes closed in your mind's eye, even see yourself. See yourself as the very one to whom the Father is running, the very one who is being lifted up in the Father's arms, embraced and kissed with delight. Duane sang this parable for us just moments ago. The refrain is this, and then he ran to me, took me in his arms, held my head to his chest and said, my son's come home again. Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son, daughter, do you know I still love you? And what of the son? What of the son? Well, we know that the son never expected this. He thought that his status with his father had changed forever. But Jesus in this parable says, no, grace abounds. Grace abounds. As our hearts, if our hearts, are open and receptive, this parable irresistibly draws us in. Because through it, God speaks into our souls. Because we've all of us, been prodigal sons and daughters, spending and wasting time and life, in far and distant places. What does Jesus want to say to us about the nature and the character of God our Father through this parable? Well, first, God is always ready to welcome us home. There are no time limits. There is no far country to which we have gone. There is no far country that we may be presently in, or one whom we love, that is ever beyond the scope and the touch and the care of our Father God. Just days ago, I heard a story that I can't forget. Of an aging and ill retired pastor. Let's say that he served at least 40 years of ordained parish ministry. Do the math. Even if he didn't preach every Sunday, he would have preached well over 6,000 sermons in the course of his lifetime. As he was in retirement, he was frequently hospitalized because of complications with his heart. Another pastor went to visit him as he was hospitalized yet again in the emergency room. And this visiting pastor went into the cubicle and said to him, how are you? How are you really doing? And the pastor replied, at this point in my life, what matters to me most is that God is faithful. At this point in my life, what matters to me most is that God is faithful. Some of us here this morning, despite our outward appearances, are actually quite hungry and famished in our souls. just like this prodigal. Some of us here this morning, despite the fact that we're here, have wandered or even deliberately gone into a place that is far from God. The gospel good news of this parable is that God is always, no time limit, faithfully ready to welcome us home. Second, through this parable, Jesus shows us that God accepts us exactly as we are. We don't have to first get our act together before we approach God. God is not standing on the doorstep with a clip chart in hand, with a grievance list of our wrongdoings and our failures and our sins. God never points a finger in condemnation, because as the New Testament declares, there is no condemnation, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God opens his arms in an expansive embrace of unconditional love. That's difficult. That is difficult for us to believe once and for all, in part because we were raised by well-intentioned and devoted human parents who, despite their best efforts and intentions, imperfectly loved us. And so we, as adults, or perhaps as teens, sometimes unwittingly, unknowingly, project onto God these flawed human attributes of our parents. I am so blessed to have been raised by a loving mother and father who gave me the legacy of faith in Jesus Christ. But my parents weren't perfect. A new board game was one of the presents that we received at Christmas when I was in third grade. As children are prone to do after playing with this board game, several days after Christmas, we had lost the directions. My father was not happy, and so a search of the entire house ensued. This is the letter that my sister and my brother and I wrote and presented to our father after a thorough search of the house. He saved it and gave it to me probably about 20 years ago. After telling you all this, we are very ashamed and sorry of the way we treated the game. We know this isn't enough to make up for the loss of the instructions. Therefore, we are willing to accept any punishment that would improve our carelessness and ungratefulness. We are truly sorry, and we hope you forgive us. We feel we have searched the house very thoroughly, so may we please be permitted to stop searching and take our punishment. If I didn't have a really good relationship with my mom and dad, I would not read you that letter. Love, John, Connie, and Julie. In perfect wisdom, God knows this. It is the love. It's the love made known for us in Jesus that draws us to the Father. Not the fear, not the concern about reprisal or punishment. It's the love that beckons and woos us to our Father God. And then when we trust in that love, we're free to confess what is not right, because the Father will not leave and will not stop loving. Child, daughter, son, do you know I still love you? And last, Jesus, as Pastor Greg said in a different way, wants us to see that God celebrates and rejoices when we are found. The son thought that he had forever lost the right to sit at his father's bountiful table. Leftovers and table scraps were all that he hoped for because of what he had done. The father could not contain his joy at his son's homecoming, and he called for a feast. And this is how God wants to bless us as we find or as we rediscover our way home. I have come to see that Maurice Sendak's children's story, Where the Wild Things Are, can be construed, perhaps in part, as a child's version of today's parable. The child in this story, I think many of you know it, Max, makes so much mischief that he is sent to bed without supper. He runs away to a place, where he meets and lives among the wild things. And I'll let him finish the story in his own words. But Max, the king of all wild things, was lonely and wanted to be where someone loved him best of all. Then all around from far away across the world, he smelled good things to eat. So he gave up being king of where the wild things are. Max sailed back over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day and into the night of his very own room, where he found his supper waiting for him, and it was still hot. If you're already home, if you are already secure in the Father's embrace, if you're wondering what to do with this parable, I would urge you to begin by thanking God that you found your way home. And if you're home, then scan the horizon. Scan the horizon and look for those who are searching for that doorstep, that front porch that you have found. Encourage and do not judge those who are in a far country, because there but for the grace of God go we. Be a living signpost, pointing and directing others to the Father's mercy and forgiveness and acceptance and grace and love. In word and in deed, help others find the way home and tell them what God has done for you in Christ. Give from the abundance of God's goodness as these four daddies, these four fathers, bore witness this morning. Build a home for those who have none, and so make manifest the love of our Father God. There was a girl who grew up in Traverse City, Michigan. Inexplicably, she ran away from a loving home. Landing in Detroit, she became a prostitute. She soon was living on the streets, abandoned, addicted, and very much afraid. She finally decided to call home and to leave a message on her parents' answering machine. "Mom, Dad, I'll be taking a bus through Traverse City, but if you aren't at the terminal, I'll take the bus on to Canada." After a 7-hour trip with many stops, the bus pulls into her hometown. She walks into the terminal not knowing what to expect. There, in the concrete walls and plastic chairs bus terminal, stands a group of 40 brothers and sisters and great aunts and uncles and cousins and a grandmother and a great grandmother to boot. And they're all wearing goofy party hats and blowing noisemakers. And taped across the entire wall of the terminal is a computer-generated banner that reads, "Welcome home. Welcome home. Son, daughter, child, do you know I still love you? Welcome home." Pray with me. Our gracious God and our loving, perfect Heavenly Father, imprint on our hearts and in our minds this unalterable, eternal truth of who you are and will forever be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.